You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jason Beck. Beck, you've been riding around with Alfredo Simon and his chrome Mercedes, right? Out there in the mean streets of Lakeland?
Actually, you know what? I ditched it and started running around with Cespedes, the black and blue Lamborghini that he's been riding around.
It's, okay.
You know, it's a little tighter quarters, but there's a little more pickup to it.
The Tigers might have the most interesting player parking lot in baseball for my money right now. You mentioned before we record here, Justin Verlander's Aston Martin, and but this chrome Mercedes, I can't take my eyes off this thing. And Simon himself, his early showing down there in the Grapefruit League play, I saw he broke out an Ephus pitch the other day. He's certainly looking forward to pitching in a bigger ballpark this season. What are your early impressions of him beyond the car?
On the car, it seems like he's pretty much as advertised. I'm going to be curious to see. I think the big question a lot of us have is, what were the numbers to expect from him? You know, was it the first half numbers, or, he deserves to be an all-star, or was it the second half numbers where it seemed like he took a step back and either – was struggling a little bit with his pitches, or hitters figuring him out, or something in the middle. I know Brad Ausmus likes to say, you can't really play that game because the season is what it is. You can't say, he's going to be one form the whole season. But that said, he's got an interesting transition to the American League, counteracted by the move to a big ballpark. He's got a nice game to him. I think he can take advantage of the gaps. And he sounds like somebody who's willing to challenge hitters more and, kind of use those fly balls and that are more likely to stay in the park than they did in Cincinnati. And that'll give him a little bit more leeway, I think, to maybe crank it up a little bit more. But this is a big year for him. Besides what I mentioned there, this is his contract year. And when you look at that free agent crop of pitchers coming up, he's kind of in that next tier. You can't reasonably put him in that front group with, like, Price and Zimmerman and Cueto and, Greinke if he becomes a free agent. You can't put him in that same conversation. But then again, you can't discount him as just another guy. I think what he was able to do last year, certainly from an inning standpoint, puts him, I know we've compared him to Porcello enough, but I kind of put him in that type of group where you look at him and you think, here's a guy who, while he's not going to lead your staff, is certainly a guy who can be right in the thick of your rotation. And I think another good season to follow up what he did last year, I think would certainly help his cause personally.
Yeah, ground balls and innings, those have a lot of value in the marketplace. Not, again, not to the value of an ace-type arm, but certainly a lot of value to a club that needs to shore up the middle of the rotation. The Tigers trying to shore up the top of the rotation. Justin Verlander, big spring for him, not for contractual reasons like Simon, but for his own pride and for the good of this club, obviously. His first outing looked to be a good one. He seems to be mixing up his sequencing. It sounds like he threw the curveball quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, and that's that kind of caught me by surprise. I didn't know that was going to be a big point of emphasis with him, and it could be just a one-star thing with him,
right?
But to me, when Verlander was really emerged, that curveball was really the gauge that I used to try to tell what kind of form he was on. If he was spotting that curveball and freezing guys and spotting it for strikes and getting those strike calls, especially when he was ahead in the count, to me, that was the delineator between whether he was on track for a good day or whether you should start thinking about what type of no-hitter story you might want to write. And that wasn't there last year, at least not consistent. It was more hit and miss. He struggled to spot it seemed like, a lot of times. And so unless guys were fooled and went after it, it was tougher for him to really take advantage of it. And what he was trying to do, according to Jeff Jones, is he's trying to make it a little bit more deceptive, a little later break, and maybe get some more swings and misses with it. If he can spot it, you know, obviously all the better. But he wants to get guys fooled a little bit more often now rather than just frozen. So far, so good. First start, obviously, pitchers are expected to be ahead of hitters, although if you look at some of the numbers from the last couple of games, you wonder about that. But it was positive. You know, the velocity is going to be something you got to watch as the spring goes on. I don't think any of us were expecting him to go like 95 to 97 first start out. I think it was more, you know, according to the board there at Disney, 90 to 92, with some 93s and a 94 mixed in there that John Buck thought of.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a different guy. I certainly suspect that'll tick up a little bit, but he's probably going to have to pitch backward a little more often and just rely on more finesse, frankly. That's the way it is for pitchers at this stage in his career. Switching gears completely, talking about speed of a different sort, Anthony Ghost. We haven't really talked much about him on this podcast. In many ways, he gets kind of overlooked, overshadowed by the stars in this lineup, and they added Cespedes this winter, so you don't think as much about the Ghost acquisition, but you know, this is a guy with game-changing speed, which is not something the Tigers have in large supply, and obviously need his bat to come along. They probably want to see more speed with the bat. Early thoughts on him? I know he's impacted some games down there. How does he seem to fit into things here?
He's looked good so far. He seems pretty comfortable. I think more comfortable than many of us expected to be early on. We thought it was going to be a process. It looks like he's meshed well in that stuff that Wally Joyner and David Newhand have been talking with him about. They've kind of gotten through. He's not making too much of it right now. He says spring training's long. He's, you know, we're going to have to see how he keeps it up as you know, as the game goes on and pitchers start mixing in different stuff. But right now, it looks like a guy who seems to have an idea of what he wants to do with the plate. He's getting some nice line drives. He's centering some balls. He's got a little bit of punch there, at least to get the ball into the gaps. And he's looking to go. He's taking advantage of that green light that Brad Ausmus has given him and a lot of other guys in this camp. He took third base the other day on a ball that was going back from the catcher to the pitcher.
So I read about that. Yeah.
It wasn't the most advisable thing in the world if it was a regular season setting, considering Cespedes was on deck and it was a no-out situation. I mean, Cespedes was at the plate, I'm sorry. But it was something – it's interesting to see that instinct there. He's looking to take that base, and I think that's something that Brad likes to see. And I think as we watch – the different hitters in this lineup and try to figure out who would make sense in the two spot. Yeah, at some point, if he keeps it up, you have to put him in the conversation. Even if you're not necessarily going to be looking for a lot of speed from him in front of Miguel Cabrera, just, you know, the aggressiveness and what he's able to do with pitchers who are throwing him strikes, that's encouraging. He's not getting in his own way. And I think that's something that's come along pretty well so far. And, you know, while Alex Avila is still a candidate there, I think Jose Iglesias, if you can get him going on a string of games where, you know, he's feeling comfortable at the plate and getting regular at-bats, he could be a candidate. But Brad didn't necessarily rule out Anthony Ghost early on. So that's something that will be worth tracking as we move along here in the schedule and those batting orders become more serious.
Yeah. Hey, Beck, what's with Jose Iglesias? What's with his shins? Is there some kind of hex on his shins or what? I mean, he dealt with the issues last year, obviously, that cost him the season. Comes to camp, and they're like targets. I know he had him bruised in a game and came out of a game. How's he handling all that physically? And also, just what's his readiness level as he gets ready to return to a regular spot in this lineup?
Well, he's playable right now. It's just those magnets for baseball that are in the shins that seem to be the problem, at least the right one. You know, he had an awkward slide, a late slide against the Mets last week that and messed up his shin. And then, you know, the more freakish thing to me was that line drive in BP. I mean, it was a low line drive. It wasn't even a bad hopper. It just stung him right in pretty much the exact same spot. And you see him, you know, go to the ground, and you're thinking, oh, gosh, here's, you know, this is kind of the worst-case scenario. He walked off being able to put pressure on the leg, and that was good. But he still missed a couple days. It looks like it's nothing more than a bruise. X-rays were negative. You know, he's back playing again. But, yeah, you got to wonder just how does something like that happen? Because it's not something you see very often. You see guys hit by line drives, but usually not that low. And certainly not, you know, hit by drives that low. They're hit that hard. But you hope he's able to kind of rebound from that and be able to get the at-bats he needs to be ready. Because I think he deserves to be judged in this camp over what he can do when healthy. I mean, not that he's not going to be the starting shortstop. Yeah, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be that. But I think just as far as the bat goes, and where to hit him in the order, and what type of player he can be for you in an offensive scheme.
Beck, I also want to plug your story on Tigers.com. Really cool, Daniel Jacobs, the war veteran and amputee, who took part in the Tigers' annual tryout, and you know, just an inspiration. That'd be really cool to watch him out there and really going for it too. Really getting frustrated with himself on some pitches he swung through, and really taking the extra time to prove himself out there.
Yeah, it was a fun story to do. It's kind of, you know, I guess for folks who haven't watched it, just the tryout camp is fascinating to me. Because there's so many different stories. There's guys who just want to say they were able to try out. You know, there's the college guys trying to get a one last shot. There are guys who've been released from other camps, you know, for various reasons who are trying to get back in. I think, you know, Wynn Bernard, who I wrote about earlier, was a great story that way because he had been released just before spring training last year and came here looking to give it a shot. And won a job and became the Midwest League MVP. But you know, this was a whole different type of story. I think in San Diego they'd written about it, so we kind of knew he was coming. But then to watch him work out in person was just, you have to admire it because he's got this incredible spirit about him. And it's a positive spirit. Here's this guy, you know, in these circumstances. And he was giving positive reinforcement coaching to other guys, guys who were in such completely different circumstances compared to him. And yeah, he's tough on himself, but he's positive with other guys. He's trying to get that motivation. And it was so fun to see in that type of setting. And it was just, it's really inspirational. And I think it was inspirational to other guys. Just that whole trial camp setup. It's so, to describe it to people, it's almost the antithesis of baseball in terms of, you know, baseball's a team game. But tryouts are such a dog-eat-dog setup because you've got a limited number of evaluators trying to look at such a large group of guys trying out. And so you have to make snap judgments. And so guys are trying to stand out on every play. And so, you know, if they don't do something exactly the way they want to, they get frustrated. And here's this guy who's got so many struggles of his own trying to support the guys around him. It was really, and it was just so incredible to see.
That was awesome stuff, Beck, and great insight on the Tigers as always. I want to thank Jason for joining us, and you can find him. I think he's going to turn in his rental car and ask for the all-chrome model at Hertz or Enterprise or wherever. So you can find him on the streets of Lakeland in his own chrome car. And thanks for listening in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.